Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through time travel. I should know this by heart by now.
With
time travel, with
Ziggy as your constant.
With Desmond as your constant.
I'm Ari.
I'm Desmond.
And I'm Ari. And that makes this Time Pop!
We've gone into each other's bodies.
That was the worst introduction we've ever had by far.
I'm sure. The best.
We leapt into each other's bodies, and there's that, like, you know, we're trying to figure out where we are and why the view looks different.
Did you leap into my body, Desmond? Is that why I did the intro?
I did. We just leapt clockwise.
Kinky.
Whoa! I find counterclockwise a little more seductive.
Yeah. That's the kinky way. Clockwise is so vanilla.
Tick tock, tick tock, tock, tick tock. No. Cot, kit, cot, kit, cot, kit.
Is that you saying tick tock backwards?
Yeah. See, Ari gets it.
But wait, I want to know what you were going to use as the constant. Should we actually do the real intro now?
Yeah, that wasn't the real intro.
Oh, no, he's going to use it.
Oh, that's our intro.
He for sure is going to use all that.
Fuck yeah. We are into this. I was either going to do Ziggy or oh shit.
Oh, okay.
It's more of an oh shit.
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
I mean, I feel like Ziggy would actually be the actual constant.
Well, and my only hesitation was, I bet you I used Ziggy on our last Quantum Leap episode.
No. You always go back in time and change it.
Oh, God, to leap.
Make right what was once wrong.
I would kill to leap into Scott Bakula's body just for an hour.
Oh, my God. That's your own business.
Can I leap into him while he's on the set of Major League 3 Back to the Minors?
Oh,
that would be my dream.
Is he a necessary roughness also?
Oh, yeah.
So what did we watch this time, Des?
We watched the new, I was going to say new and improved, but we'll discuss whether it's the new and improved. The new reboot, Quantum Leap, starring, starring Ben Song, but that's the character's name.
Starring Ernie Hudson and a lot of other people.
Oh, Ernie Hudson, Raymond Lee, Caitlin Bessette, Mason Alexander Park, and Ernie motherfucking Hudson. Yeah, I keep meaning to look up Raymond Lee. Do you know these people? I mean, other than Ernie Hudson, I mean, he's a god.
One of the other people that's his friend, the engineer, who seems to be non-binary, is also in The Sandman, so that's exciting.
Oh yeah. I saw very little of The Sandman, but I do remember seeing him.
Besides that, no.
She's been around. Holy cow. She's a powerhouse compared to most of these actors. She was just in Top Gun Maverick.
Who are you talking about?
Caitlin, the
female lead?
As Ari would say, the girl doctor.
The one with the butt chin?
Yeah.
So her new name from now on is Dr. Butt Chin.
Dr. Butt Chin. I can deal with that. I like Dr. Butt Chin.
This feels kind of celebratory of our Back to the Future month. The fact of like bringing back Quantum Leap, a classic time travel TV show. That's exciting. It's like the universe is celebrating.
Yeah, this has worked out well. We were kind of hoping to do this a little earlier, but with October being everyone strap in the next 3 weeks, bang, bang, bang. We're not taking a break. We got Quantum Leap, the ever sought after top 10 list coming to you from Time Pop hosts Ari, Scott, and Dez.
Is this going to be released first before that one?
Yeah, because I think we got to get this one out. My plan was to release top 10 this week, but now that we're already on episode 3 of Quantum Leap, I should get it out, make people wait just a little bit longer. And then after that, Back to the Future 3 released on, it won't be on a Thursday, it'll be on a Friday because it's being released on Back to the Future Day.
Yay!
Woo!
Time travel month.
Dude, it's Did you guys watch that video I sent you on Instagram?
No.
It's fucking amazing. It's the, is it Oklahoma? I think it's Oklahoma University. Their marching band is world famous for doing great halftime shows and doing really cool art with how they walk around. And they did the whole thing was based on Back to the Future. They built the clock tower with their bodies walking around. They did him playing a guitar. They did, I feel like they did something else. But then they did, not only did they do the DeLorean, but they folded the wheels in and took off instead of drove across the field.
That's cool.
It was very cool.
Not as cool as our episodes.
No way! Quantum Leap, it's back. I'm excited about this show. There's some issues. They're going to have to get into character a little bit better. I think it's a little bumpy acting wise, but as far as the story goes, I'm really excited what they're doing. I'm so excited that they've, you know, the original Quantum Leap exists in this universe and happened and they're building on it. And I think that's really fucking cool.
So did you guys watch every episode of the original Quantum Leap?
Yes.
I probably didn't because I never watched it in its original run. I know I watched it a lot in reruns. And so I doubt I watched it all in order all the time, but I've seen a lot of it.
Okay. So you guys are very familiar.
I watched it. I loved it.
Okay. I am not.
For me, it was the quintessential TV series. And now this was almost an exciting moment.
Was it a huge letdown or just not exciting?
I'm pretty let down.
Oh, what was your expectations? What did you think was going to happen that they missed the bar on?
All three of us have very different perspectives on this, which is good, right? Desmond's like kind of knows about it, interested in it. Ari's never seen it. I was a big fan, but where do you start?
Well, first of all, real quick, Ari, opening judgment.
So I had only seen the one episode we did of the original series. Was that the pilot episode we did?
Yeah, we did okay. The pilot.
We did that a while ago. So that's the only thing I've known about it. But I know the premise of it, obviously, from that. My first thoughts on this new one is what you're asking. I have a lot of issues with the science. I just couldn't shut up about the science during the show to the point where it's like, okay, let me just stop. Let me save it for the podcast. But like, I have a lot of, I really love the concept.
Cool.
Right? The concept at its core, you get transported into someone else's consciousness and you are that person and you have to stay there, you know, for a reason and yada, yada, yada. But that idea is awesome.
You have to stay there until you put right.
Well, once went wrong. Best premise of all time. You have the ability for someone to go into all kinds of different lives. In the original series, you know, he would be a black man in the South, or he would be like a rock star. He was a woman giving birth. He was a Vietnam guy missing legs. He was in a straitjacket in a mental hospital. So like you have to experience all these things. It's their pilot. It's the pilot episode, Quantum Leap reboot. So exciting. Who's he going to leap into? Is it going to be an astronaut? Is it going to be a rock band? Is it going to be something like racial, something political, a spy? It's like, it's a guy robbing a bank, not to help another. Like, it's just, but they didn't even, robbing the bank is only one small portion of it. It was such a boring, it was not a pilot that grabbed it. I turned to Ari in the moment when we were watching the pilot. I was like, this reeks of a show that's not going to get picked up for a second season. She's like, I know. It's, you know, the acting is not great. We applaud with the casting that they're doing a diverse cast. Having good an Asian male as a male lead is really important and unfortunately rare. Especially when there's not like Kung Fu, so that's great. He's not an amazing actor. Most of the actors are not amazing. And it has a little bit of cheeseball to it. And I said a pretty bad insult. I turned to Ari and I said, this looks like this was just written by people that like write TV. So he's like people that write Law and Order episodes. And she was like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was not a pilot that grabs you. They didn't capitalize. They do the classic TV thing where at the end, there's some overall mystery that they're not letting you know. He went back in time. He's like, it's bigger than you and me. I'm not going to tell you yet because we need to leave that hanging over everyone for the whole series. But it was just the pilot didn't grab. The acting was not great. It was just cobbled together quickly. A little cheese ball, a few mentions to the old one, but nothing new, riveting or exciting. It was very disappointing to me. I feel like this series TV is very competitive right now. I can't imagine this is going to make it.
Yeah.
Did you watch episode 2?
Not yet.
Did you?
I did.
Is it better?
I mean, he goes to space. I mean, if that...
Yeah, when I saw him go to space at the end of the scene, that's what you do for the pilot. Yeah. I have him be an astronaut. That's so much more interesting than like a rundown. And, you know, it's in the 80s and like they're pumping it full of 80s soundtrack music. But besides that, most people have modern haircuts.
Yeah, it didn't feel 80s.
It's funny. Now that I'm someone who lived through the 80s and I see that, I'm like, oh, when I used to watch like Back to the Future and like they just throw in 50s music and I'm like, oh, this is what it's like. If you're in the 50s, or like they're just jamming whatever cultural, like, oh, it's a silly putty. It's a hula hoop. Like just jamming whatever they can in to make it feel that way.
Yeah.
They're just blasting Wang Chung. I'm like, oh, it's 80s. But nothing else really felt. The haircuts didn't feel 80s. Nothing. They would show shots from like Live Aid and show a poster. Like, if you're going to go 80s like that, have it at a high school in the 80s. Do, like, a John Hughes takeoff. You know, like, go with, like...
I didn't even think about it, but I bet you in the background you can see, like, Teslas and stuff in the background.
I think they were mostly good about things like that, like cars, but...
Okay.
The buildings or haircuts, they did not.
The clothes, even, I don't know.
Clothes are, like, mild. Yeah, it didn't...
Yeah, they had a couple scenes to set the scene.
Yeah, they would show one guy walk around listening to like 80s hip hop. And it's like, they're mixing things from like 1988 and like 1980. I don't know. Not all of it was super authentic to the year. They're just kind of, yeah, whatever. That's my two bits. I was a huge Quantum Leap fan. I'm a little disappointed. Maybe it'll get better.
You watched this through a much better time travel lens than I did. Because I just watched it as kind of a cool TV show. And... I love all the stuff that they're, you know, already the stuff that they are bringing in from the past, you know, that Al exists and Al's daughter is going to be in this. So I like that. And I like that we're spending half of our time in the now, you know, in the original Quantum Leap, we were never, the only time we were in the now was for the 4 minutes at the beginning of the pilot. And then you never saw what was going on at headquarters.
Yeah, he just had Al, and now there's like a whole team.
Yeah.
But it was just Al. But that the part of that, too, is, I don't know, by only him being in the past, you felt more
immersed,
alone and immersed, yeah, and really there. To kind of cut back to the future kind of takes away from it, I feel like, a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that.
See? And I don't know, having Al as like this pal, this buddy, it's different when it's like the fiance that's worried about you. I don't know. It's a different dynamic. Maybe I'm just attached to the original.
I would say you were... definitely attached to the original.
Whatever.
You're having attachment issues, Scott.
But you know what? I think it's time for Ari's breakdown of the science involved. Because I think she's just ready to explode and dish out some scientific.
I've just warned you, I've seen the later episodes. I've seen the three-dimensional math map that they break out. And it's pretty crazy.
Did you say three-dimensional math map?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right. But we're just talking about episode one right now, right?
Yes, I know. Well, we're talking about, yeah, it's a new series. So I think we're just talking about Quantum Leap a little bit. But yes, break down the science of episode one.
Well, so I just have a bunch of questions. And this is probably going to be directed at Scott because he knows the original show the best. So he stepped into a machine and the machine in like an all white onesie, nice and tight. And the machine...
What do you wear when you travel through time, Ari?
That's a good question. That's
I'm like the Terminator. I go in the nude.
But why was it covering his entire body but not his head? Right? So like...
True.
I think it was even covering his hands, right? But his head can be exposed. Anyway. So he steps into this machine, which is connected to a supercomputer, and this machine turns on and sends his consciousness back in time to some random person. Well, what we think is a random person, I'm sure the computer has its purpose.
Yes.
But sends it to a random person who happens to be in the same country that speaks the same language.
And wow, she's really tearing this to shreds, even more than I thought.
Well, I mean, So my first question is, what happens to his body in the machine?
I actually have an answer for this because I did some research, but the answer is stranger than what it should be.
Oh, awesome.
I had told Ari originally, I said, I think like his body kind of evaporates and he goes into someone else's body. And when I looked at the research, says that he actually travels back in time with his body, but the people in the time only see him as the person whose body he is in. They said, for example, in the Vietnam episode where he takes over the body of someone who lost their legs. He can stand up and walk, but they just see it as a person levitating.
What?
Now, this is just the research of the old series. This isn't just the research I did. This makes even less sense scientifically.
That's the most ridiculous thing. So everybody in the entire world where he transported to is affected by what they see of him. So everyone else is affected by this except him.
It should be that he goes back in there. His consciousness goes in their body.
Well, no, because if that's true, then Caitlin would only see the other person. Caitlin wouldn't see Ben.
Oh.
Does she see Ben? Because I'm confused by that. In my mind, when I watch the show, the girl that goes back, his fiance, sees the man that he has become, sees the white guy that he became.
I think she's supposed to see him as him.
But why? That's another fucking, like, how and why?
There's holograms in this world. We already know that. So how, maybe he projects a hologram?
His consciousness in someone else's body projects a hologram? She's a hologram.
Maybe the suit.
But how is she being projected?
So she's in like a holodeck and she sees like his world around her, like it's a hologram. He sees her as a hologram.
And can I just put in a huge hole right there? When the world around her disintegrates, right? And she's standing in this like big dome. She's on like a platform on a catwalk that looked like it was maybe 5 feet in diameter. But yet when she's out in the real world with him in the past, she's walking around, she's going down steps and upstairs, and
right.
She's interacting with him. And like, you only had like a 5 foot diameter platform to stand on. How are you moving around?
That's really interesting, right? So if he's in the 80s, he's going upstairs, she's screwed. Like, she's at the bottom, just looking up at him like, I can't go up the stairs. I'm a hologram. And I don't have, unless I go upstairs in my...
But so the writers did not think this out at all.
Well, I think that, I mean, she's a hologram. So the projection of her could be moving around while she's still in one place.
Well, she's in a real place. And the room, the time period is the hologram for her experience.
Right. So it's like when you're playing, like when you put on 3D glasses and you're not actually walking forward, but you're basically telling your...
It's like a VR game.
So my next question is, she's in this VR game, like you just said. How does the supercomputer know what every other single person did in that room in that moment?
That's the supercomputer in the future.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Because they had said they had found out about the robbery later. It took them a while, but they'd figured out everything
but
about the robbery.
She's in the room seeing every little thing happen in real time.
But she's still in the future, so she can access it on her like smartphone.
That's where Ziggy comes in. Ziggy has all the information on it.
Ziggy is like an encyclopedia.
So Ziggy knows what every single person was wearing. Ziggy knows
it's AI. It also
what
supposes
music
things.
Was playing. Ziggy knows what hors d'oeuvres were passed at this fancy party. You're telling me that this supercomputer knows what jewelry somebody in the way background of this room was wearing? I have a lot of issues with the science.
Oh, you mean her projection? You think you're saying that her projection?
No. What she sees, what she is seeing in her VR world.
That has nothing to do with Ziggy.
She's there.
She's tapping in.
How is she there?
Ziggy can access where Ben is and then like places her there.
Okay. So when her world dissolved away, right? When she was talking to him in front of the car, her world dissolved away. She was seeing everything that was actually there.
Yes.
How is that possible?
Well, if they could transport him back, they hone in on that. So, and then they kind of project that around her.
We're talking about a world where time travel exists. That is very... Her coming back to talk to him is very easy for me to swallow once I accept the fact that this dude is traveling through time into other people's bodies. If we're talking about a world where crazy shit's happening.
So you guys are just telling me to just like accept it and let it go.
Well, no, there's suspension disbelief. I mean, and like a guy goes in a closet, clenches his fist and travels through time. And it's like, how is that scientifically possible? So. It's the same level of that.
Yeah, but that is on I have an issue with that because that is on the notion that it's magical. This is a scientific show, right? This is a supercomputer based on science, yet this is so incredibly out there. They should have done a better job.
I do get some of what she's saying. It's almost like if you were to go with this and with Ziggy, they can hone in on him and where he is. It would make sense that she could see things from his perspective.
See what he's seeing.
Right. But just to be able to walk into the type, just to see it from like afar into the, where's the projection? There's no camera. They're just recreating the type. I get it. If you really think hard about it, I get what she's saying.
Yeah.
Almost would make more sense if you could just see from his vision and she was like a voice in his head. But that's not how they do it.
I love that watching 80 time travel movies has broken Ari and I in different ways.
Yeah.
Where I'm just... I've come to the point where I just accept everything. Like whatever, whatever world you want to paint for me, I'm like, sure. Why the fuck not?
And you just love it. And you're just like, this is, it was a cat that time traveled into a matchbox car. I'll take it. Let's go.
And every time the science gets worse, Ari's just like, no, 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 no.
I've always been that way though.
Like, I know you have, but it's getting
I have to know how it works.
But we've watched a lot of movies where we have given you nothing to hold on to scientifically.
Yeah, but those are the movies where it's a magical way that you travel or a genetic way.
Or it's kept vague on purpose.
Yeah, or it's kept, but this is based on a supercomputer and a time machine. Based with scientists and engineers, like, come on, writers, do a little more effort.
Hey, you know, they had to get those Law and Order episodes.
They had a due date.
They had a due date. It was, that was an easy script. It wasn't, nothing super dynamic or unique happened. I think they were really proud of their tango scene, which is like something we've seen in like, yeah, Mission Impossible, right? As you said.
Yeah.
That's why I like this show, that they're actually attempting to bring us into what's happening, because I could, you know, without bringing the pilot to a screeching halt of science, they could, you know, as best that they want to in the universe they've built, explain some of this stuff. And that's why I'm kind of excited about this series and where they seem to be going with it instead of just being in Sam's body.
Yeah, I mean, I have to just like let it go, let all that go and just accept the fact that she's there somehow and can see everything, see more than what he can see. Because there was a point in the party.
Well, that's just for us.
It seems like if we needed to, let's say he was outside of a bank, it seems like she could go walk in the bank and then come out and be like, yeah, there was three people in there.
No, because he was up on the balcony talking to his friend and she was downstairs with all the dancers. And she was like, the person's moving. The person's going over there. It was like, it's like she was there. So she can see more than what he can see. So I just have to let it go.
And there's the sign.
Yeah, if she can do this at all, I can accept that she can move around in that world. Like, I mean, the fact that, you know, she can go back and talk to him, that's crazy enough. So for her to be able to virtually move around that scene, because I don't think it's necessarily attached to him. I think they can pretty much send them. I don't think the hologram is attached to him. Like, I think they could just send holograms back in time and investigate whatever they wanted to. What they hadn't done, or what they hadn't done successfully, is send a person back in time. I think the hologram is a
person's consciousness.
Yeah. Well, no, and I don't think it's his consciousness. I think
what I read, yeah, again, his body goes back, which is why he sees the reflection. She sees him as him, but everyone else sees him as the, that has some science issues too. That we're
wait,
not
what? No, he sees the reflection as the other person.
Right.
When he looks in the mirror, he's the other person.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yeah.
So his body is not there. Like, I don't know how to break it to you guys, but his body is not there.
Well, if they're going with the science of the old episodes, apparently that's kind of the...
But how?
I know.
Here's the real question. What the fuck happens to those people when he leaves their body? Is there any recollection?
Here come the ethics. Yeah.
All right. Here's the ethics.
No, there is. But he didn't go on purpose. But yeah. Right. Do they blank out or do they feel like, do they remember? We've never seen, so we don't know.
Yeah.
Or do they remember what they've done, but like they were controlled by someone else? Either way, it's pretty traumatic and they would probably need tons of therapy for blacking out for however long sometimes he stays like a week, I think.
And there is an episode coming up I saw on the, you know, coming up this season on Quantum Leap. He is going to travel to before he was born, which they say in the episode that's not supposed to be possible. And they're like, well, he fucking did it. So
they got to break some barriers.
Well, why not? Why would that supposedly not be possible?
That was a
premise
in the first series. He was unable to travel within. Yeah, he could only time travel within his lifetime. If his molecules didn't exist in that universe, he couldn't travel back to it.
I have so many issues with that.
We'd have to look it up better. I also looked up what was interesting. I looked up the end of the last episode of the original series.
Oh, awesome. Do tell, do tell.
So it says that Sam has leaped back to visit Al's wife, Beth. She went back as himself, assuring her that her husband, who is a prisoner of war, will return home to her. This results in Al and Beth remaining happily married in the future while Sam continues leaping, never returning home. Because Al is known as this womanizer. I assume he got like divorced, whatever. She assumed he was dead when he was out there. And so he makes a sacrifice to give Al like a happy life. And then he's doomed to leap forever.
Do you think that's going to be the premise of this series? Is him, he's going to rescue Sam?
No, but they...
What?
No, what they were hinting at was that the daughter of Al is the one that's like conspiring with Ben.
To rescue Sam Beckett.
I mean, it has to be, right? Like, what other purpose would there be to like, you have to jump right now. The computer found something with this new algorithm. Go, go, go. Yeah. Don't tell anybody what you're doing, especially your fiance, because it might mess it up.
Right.
And just go.
And he's saying it's bigger than anything and enough of reason that he felt to do it. It's been like, well, if it is, then you could have told your fiance. She probably would have got it.
Well, if she was supposed to be the jumper.
He's trying to protect her.
Well, and that's another, again, I like that this series is creating long-term questions because there was never anything that lasted more than an episode in the original Quantum Leap. And I like that there's going to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was always trying to get home.
That's it. Yeah. And this one, like, you know, he leapt. We got to figure out why he leapt when he did and didn't tell anybody, how he got Al's daughter involved, how she, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, she knew Al, so that's how she knew all the science. And then, you know, where Sam is and him getting his memory back to remember that this hologram is his fiance and all that stuff. This would have been, it is a bummer that this is a network show. Like, this would be a great show to put on a streaming service so they could have, you know, anywhere from 40 to 70 minutes to tell whatever story they needed to. Being locked into this 42 minutes is not going to do it any favors.
Yeah, it's hard to get it across that quick.
Will you watch another episode?
Yeah, it's time travel. Still give it some more chances. The astronaut thing looks more interesting.
So the supercomputer Ziggy, that is from the original show. Okay, so it's essentially the same computer.
I mean, it's improved.
Okay, so but they've obviously it's been updated, but this Ziggy computer is supposed to be artificial intelligence?
I mean, they weren't using the term back then.
Yeah, what?
But is it supposed to be?
Now, yes. They said it was the most complex AI ever.
Okay, so it is AI. So it actually has, like, autonomy? Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think it talked in the original. He's always, like, pressing the bleep, bloop, bleep in the original. It's like, oh, Ziggy's, like... But Ziggy would get it wrong. He'd be like, well, 46% chance Ziggy says it's this, or it could be this.
Here's a quick little thing. It's voiced by, Ziggy had a voice in the original series? I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. It was the voice of the woman that did, like, the opening.
Deborah Pratt?
Intro.
Oh.
In the intro, she would be like, hoping to find his way home. We're hoping each leap will bring him closer to home. I think that was Ziggy's voice.
The supercomputer Sam designed to run Project Quantum Leap. The computer has a feminine personality and a massive ego. The latter feature is an accomplishment Sam is particularly proud of, as it makes Ziggy much more than a simple number-crunching machine.
So, okay, so the concept of this computer is it's super smart and it runs on algorithms, right? It runs on math. And the person who created it is the last guy that got caught in time, right? Scott Bakula. Okay.
Yeah.
And so basically what it is it has access to every possible newspaper, news article, anything that happened in the past.
It's like Google.
It's like Google, but like before Google existed. So it somehow knows about all these people that have died and things that have happened in the past, even before the internet existed, right? Because they made jumps back to like the 60s and 50s and stuff, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So somehow it was fed all this information. It was fed all these stories and articles and important things in history. And from that, calculated all of these lives that it learned about, right? Because you have to teach AI. So it calculated all these lives that Scott Bakula's character had to save, right? In order to project the timeline, project the future in a certain way, right?
There was never an explanation why he was jumping into those Ziggy, I don't think, had control of who he was jumping into. Ziggy could just help get him out of that situation once he was in it.
Oh.
Ziggy would try to assess and run all the calculations.
Okay, so Ziggy had a major flaw, right? Because Ziggy is connected to the traveling, the actual time traveling.
No.
I'm not sure about that, no.
Ziggy's Google. Ziggy basically, I mean, in 95, I don't know what it was, but now it's just an AI that can access the internet and run percentages on outcomes.
So you're telling me the time machine and Ziggy are not connected? Like they don't have a single wire connected to each other?
No, it says he took the quantum leap accelerator.
It may in this one because, again, having looked forward, Ben does seem to have a trajectory for his leaps. He does seem to be leaping on purpose. Whether or not Ziggy probably doesn't have access to that, because if Ziggy had access to that, then the people at home would have access to that information.
Okay. So the time machine and the supercomputer are not connected. So this means the time machine is malfunctioning and it is randomly putting his consciousness into people in history.
Not this time. I don't think it's random this time.
No, I'm talking about the original. Sorry. Yes. I'm talking about the original. Okay.
Well, theoretically, there were things that I think affected Sam's life, if I remember correctly, loosely. But it's also, again, if you wanted me to come with my time theory, to write what went wrong, I have a question about, like, if time wanted it to happen a certain way, it would have happened that way. That's a lot of things that got wrong. So if time went wrong, it was to say that it's not supposed to be wrong. Whose book says how time's supposed to go?
Yeah, if this guy was supposed to die, it was his time. And by keeping him alive, how many other lives are you changing?
Yeah, what about butterfly effects?
Every time that guy you save gets a girlfriend, you ruin someone else's life.
Exactly. So you're telling me that it's not connected. So because the tagline makes it seem like it is intentional, writing things that were wronged.
No, that's his way out. If things went wrong with his... I think in the first episode, he left. He doesn't know how to get back. And then like Ziggy figures out he has to write what went wrong. But it's always Ziggy trying to figure it out.
So the time machine, which is separate, which has to have his like consciousness stored somewhere, right? So the way the time machine is triggered to re-transfer his consciousness somewhere else is that he has saved somebody's life.
He's righted what was wrong.
Right, okay. So there has to be a separate supercomputer connected to the time machine if you're telling me that Ziggy is not connected to the time machine.
There is.
Okay, so the time machine itself has a supercomputer that was fed all this information.
That's the code that Al's daughter uploaded. She uploaded that into the time. She didn't upload into Ziggy. She uploaded into the time machine.
So the time machine is essentially the internet, right? Knows everything that's been happening.
No. Ziggy.
Ziggy.
Okay.
Ziggy is the internet.
Ziggy is. But you're telling me the time machine is the one that is either by choice or by random choosing people that it knows has died and needs to be corrected.
They need help. It's not always saving a life.
But no, the time machine, I mean, he just got sent into the like time stream and then some unknown force. I was just reading up. It says in later seasons, the main characters assume that someone was controlling this. Yeah.
A person?
The characters come to believe in later seasons that someone or something is controlling Sam's leaping. And this is the central focus of the show's final episode. And that's when Sam leaps and helps out Al.
So, Ari, this isn't something you're going to get from the pilot, but having watched more episodes, when they finally crack into Ben's computer and they get the code, the new code that's uploaded, and they feed that code into another computer, a map that basically looks like a map of the stars, and you can see all these points on it, and it seems to be a lot more purposeful than the random jumping they assumed was going to happen. And they can see the flashing, the large star of the person he jumped into. Now, this is in the middle of episode 3, so I'm sure they're going to spend a lot of time on that to try to see if they can get out in front of the leaping based on this star map, or, you know, what is actually a person map, and try to get out ahead of it to see where he's leaping to next. Because that's how they're going to get him out. How they get him out is in between leaps. So if they know where he is and they know where he's going, they can snatch him back. At least that's what they think.
Okay. So the time machine is its own separate, let's call it consciousness from Ziggy. Okay.
I thought it was more like physics-y based, that he's doing some kind of crazy physics stuff to leap. I thought it was more than that, than like a time machine.
So the time machine has its own agenda.
But Ben may have fed that agenda.
Okay, sure. But it whether it was fed the agenda or there's an agenda that the time machine knows of, because now you're saying you have a map of it.
Yes.
Right? So what is the point of Ziggy? Why can't you just ask the time machine? If it's this supercomputer as well.
Ziggy is not, well, they may feed that information to Ziggy in later episodes. Right now, Ziggy is a separate database that is feeding from, except, like I said, just imagine the time machine has a DeLorean and Ziggy is a computer sitting next to the DeLorean. They're not talking to each other.
Why not?
Because we haven't got, I think they're going to, because again, in the original 200 episodes, they didn't fucking care. That wasn't the point of the show. The point of this show is going to be about that kind of stuff. And I imagine an episode coming up where they do try to feed Ziggy that information, because Ziggy can probably help them determine where his next jump is going to be, therefore getting him back.
Okay, so you have to do all of the things that the time machine wants you to do in order to come home.
I mean, that's based on what, you know, whoever started this show is in the 80s. The whole point of the show was to just jump into different bodies in different times. And they didn't give a fuck about what was running anything.
The science.
So, you know, whether someone was controlling.
All right, I can accept that.
Whether someone was controlling it or Ben, you know, fed in. Because, of course, Ben has to have fucking amnesia or this show has no legs, you know. So, of course.
That happened in the original series, too.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, he didn't remember much. And then Sam would remind him.
So he doesn't remember who he is. He doesn't remember how he got there. But he remembers, like, pop culture things and, you know.
There's certain kinds of things, yeah.
There's a lot of people who can't remember their husband, but still remember how to speak French. So that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's science.
Science!
So do you, this is something that always bugs me about time travel, and I can accept it, because again, we've seen a lot of shit. They're in a time crunch in the future. So they're on whatever timeline he's in, when he's got to run that bank heist, they don't have infinite time in the present to figure it out and be able to go back to him at a previous time. They're on his clock for the amount of time he's in that body.
Right.
That takes away the whole purpose of time travel to me. If you can't, because, you know, in theory, you should be able to just keep going back to him before the bank heist and just keep giving him more and more information about what's going on and what he needs to do, or teach him how to drive a fucking stick, you know, before the shit hits the fan. So I understand why they do it. For the show, we need a ticking clock, and that clock needs to be ticking in both time frames. But
right.
So time is always moving forward.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He has no control over the time travel. The only thing similar is like time traveler's wife. I still think this is a different scenario that he, yeah. Also that he can't do it till he completes his mission. So yeah, he has to live their lives. The only thing that's cool about it is he gets to go into different times throughout history.
So how does the time travel computer know that he has completed the mission or saved someone's life? Did he change the present?
And who knows? Whatever wrong was righted, that's...
In the first episode, didn't they do string theory in the very original series? And they showed like a rope and how those intersect. It's almost like he's trying to straighten out his life.
No, I remember in the pilot episode, he had a ball of string and he scrumpled it up.
And some things got messed up. I mean, again,
yeah.
If time had not wanted to be messed up, it wouldn't be, but sure.
You don't know that. You don't know that. We don't know that time is perfect.
And we are assuming that the supercomputer connected to the time travel machine knows that none of these things that he's going to do is going to drastically change the present, because in the present so far in the show, nothing has drastically changed.
Which would be another very cool aspect that this series could tackle. That's definitely nothing they gave a shit about the original series, but I could very easily see that becoming a factor in this show.
I hope they do.
It's a little bit of like physics meets religion in this, right? I mean, it's
religion,
the physics of like what theoretically time, but it's also this idea of like him doing what must have been done right, and like that just magically writing the universe. And it's kind of not really very scientific, that part. You have to, definitely a big leap, a quantum leap of faith.
There you go. Boom! Perfection.
Time travel's back, folks.
It is. Quantum Leap is back. Time travel's back. Back to the Future is back. Back to back.
Back to Bacula.
I hope he shows up in it.
Oh.
He made some announcement that he had nothing to do with the series, but it seems like, I mean, they wouldn't even do it at the end of season one, right? That, you know, or it'd be the last bit of the last episode and they're trying to throw everybody off.
He's got to show up again, right? He's got to.
Yeah, I can see how he's, how they were like, we're doing this fucking show with or without you. But eventually they'll get to a point where they're like, hey, if the guy can be on the New Adventures of Old Christine, he can come back for a Quantum Leap episode.
I bet you if it gets picked up for like a second season or maybe even a third season, then he'll be like, all right, I'll show up.
Yeah, maybe they'll leap into him for an episode or they'll find him for a second.
Oh, if they leapt into him before.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Because, yeah, if they leapt into him before he started leaping, they could. Or if they just like, if Ben leapt to a similar time where he was.
Yeah.
Like if they redid a classic Quantum Leap episode from a different angle.
That would be cool.
We should be the writers for this.
That would be very cool.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, at least we'd come up with good premises for the episodes.
It just seems like they don't have a very big budget to me.
Yeah, it's definitely a first season show and they're just like, whatever, we need to fill a time slot. Good luck. But yeah, hopefully.
It's hard to keep shows. I don't see this one doing it. Ari said it seemed like it was a show that was made like, it looks like a Canadian show.
Was this filmed in Canada?
Have you seen what's on basic cable? This show could do just fine.
On basic cable?
One would think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
Would you use this?
Oh.
This is a really unique version of that question. Would you travel back if you were most likely going to not find your way back?
Would you step into the machine?
This is where my family really gets in the way.
If not, you'd be cool. If not, that's your cool with that being your retirement of just hopping into their lives?
Totally.
Without any control over who you're going to be?
Yeah. If I'm a bachelor and I'm 45, 50 years old, I think this would be, because worst case scenario, you die. Oh, and RIP Dean Stackwell. Yeah, there's something. I mean, I guess, you know, not knowing this show, he gets into some really fucking sticky situations. If I could just.
Yeah, pretty stressful.
If I could jump around and like help people pass history exams and win dance competitions and.
You don't get to choose the junior high version of this. You don't get to choose the light, the Quantum Leap Light, Quantum Leap Express, Quantum Leap Nickelodeon Junior version.
Knowing what I know about Quantum Leap, I guess I wouldn't. If you just presented it to me like, hey, you're going to jump into some other lives. You may or may not come back, but you're going to be all over history. Oh, here's the other thing. Do I get to go into the future? You give me a Quantum Leap machine that goes both ways in 100%.
Did he ever go into the future in the original show?
I feel like he did once.
I think there was once. He wasn't supposed to, but I think, or he went into his present.
Yeah.
I have another technical question, but I feel like you guys are tired of my technical questions.
This is when we do it. This is our Quantum Leap episode. Ari, hit us.
So when does he, the guy that jumped, or his team sleep?
Well, he sleeps normally. Like, yeah, we've seen a couple of jumps, but like Scott said, like he lives in some of these bodies for a week. So then
he would sleep. But if he just like saves somebody in one day and then leaps automatically and then is in that and he has to save them that day and then does and then leaps and then goes into someone else and has to save them, right? Like when does he or his team who's, you know, sleeping?
His team. Now, that's a tough question. Now, if he gets the energy level of the person he's leaping into.
Oh, I see, because it's just consciousness.
Right. Yeah.
So when does his team sleep?
Never.
Because I was just thinking about that answer to the question, would I use this? you know, I would use it because I have a person, right? I have a little person that's floating around with me or is there with me, a little sidekick, helping you throughout these sticky situations, right?
Hell yeah.
You're not by yourself figuring it out. You got a little helper person, but when do they sleep?
But it's always this high intense situation and you have a chance of not ever going back.
I guess I never saw the show, so I don't know these high intense situations.
His the episode two, he takes quite a leap of faith.
In the new one?
Yeah. And then episode three, he's a boxer. So we just get to see him get beat up.
What about you, Scott? Would you use it?
No. You know how stressful that is? Always going in and like maybe not be able to get home, having no control over it. You don't know anything in the time. You don't know the people you're supposed to know. That could get you in a lot of trouble really quickly. He always lucks out and like figures it out. It's really stressful. High chance for failure. You don't get to rest. You don't get to live any of your own life. You have no control. You can end up in like a paraplegic's body. You can end up in a drug addict's body.
What if you had to go to Woodstock and make sure that James Brown took the stage on time?
No.
It's a good try, Ben. It's a good try.
I'm out. No.
All right. All right. Quantum Leap, I say give it a chance, folks. I think all of the criticisms are warranted, but I think that I think this show could be good. I think, yeah, I think it's stumbling a little bit out of the starting blocks, but I think mixing the present with his leaping and all the politics and shit that's going in with that, I think this could be a good show. So I say check it out.
I think you could be a good show.
I would be a great show. I would show you my butt. I would show you my...
It's a cable show.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dang it. I don't get to be on...
New Red Shoe Diaries.
I don't get to be on Amazon Prime.
No, you're going to be on Showtime.
Oh, yes.
Cinemax. I take it back. You're on Cinemax, I think.
I'll show you my wiener. I'll show you my bat wing.
What's happening to this episode?
You don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
I'll show you my Arabian goggles.
Yeah, it's fine. It's time travel. You know, even bad time travel. I watched Timeless, which you guys didn't even watch.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll take my time travel where I can get it.
Yeah. You know where I like my time travel?
In the past?
I like my time travel tomorrow.
That'd be a good premise of a time travel show about someone displaced 50 years in the future and trying to figure their way around the world, either find their way back or there is no going back and trying to adjust. And that'd be interesting.
Just a future period. Just like, oh, you're in the future now.
Yeah.
Suck it easy. Thank you for listening to our podcast, everybody. And come back next week for our top 10. If you're not into this, we will give you, there is three of us. We each give our top 10. They're very different. There's, what did we end up with? 24 movies on our list altogether. Something like that.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
So many movies. They're so vast and different. We all kind of had a different algorithm that we ran the time travel through. So you can, I'm going to put our list up on a blog post too. Please let us know who your favorite list is. Who's going to win the list off?
Oh, choose mine.
Yes. Feel free to find us on Instagram at timepoppod. That is time_pop_pod on Instagram. And tell us who your favorite list is. Tell us what your favorite time travel movie is. Tell us a movie that we haven't done yet that's not on the list. That's not one of our podcasts. We want to hear from you. We're getting ready for 2023, season four, what I am very prematurely calling the all request year. We're going to do it. And it's up to you, folks. We want all your time travel movies or shows. If you got a show that we haven't covered yet, we're not going to do the whole show. We're not going to watch the whole series of Timeless. But if there's a great episode, we'd love to watch it and talk about it. You can send those to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. And you can find our list, our top 10 list will be up soon, if not already, at whatsoundsawesome.com. And there are lots of other podcasts on there that you can listen to while you're waiting for our next amazing episode of Time Pop. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel Zala.
And I'm Scott Lipton.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
next year, Scott, you can write what once was wrong. How about that?
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.